man. Jesus is the answer. Amen. John chapter 8. When I was probably 10 or 11, fifth grade is what grade I was in. I don't remember how old I was, 10 or 11, somewhere around there, is when I realized I wanted to be cool. I didn't know really what cool was, but I wanted to be cool. Now everybody knows what I mean by that, right? Not chilled or temperature, but, you know, cool. And I wanted to be cool. I wanted to know what it was like to be cool. Everybody knows the cool kids from the not cool kids, and I didn't want to be one of the not cool kids. And so I tried to do things to fit in with the cool kids. And that was, you know, sometimes you base that on how you dress. And let's see, how many of you are in your 30s, mid-30s today? You're in your mid-30s already? 30s or mid-30s and above. Mid-30s to mid-40s. Some of you will remember some of these. Terry, do you remember skids? The pants? Skids? I know Matt does because we've talked about it. You don't remember skids? Greg, do you remember skids? My goodness. You guys were the not cool kids. Justin, do you remember skids? But a babe. Joe? Maybe it was just Matt and I don't know. But they had some pants called skids. And, of course, everybody knows Air Jordans, right? I mean, even those that don't know, you know, Air Jordans, those were cool. So you had to have the cool shoes, you had to have the cool pants, you had to have the cool t-shirts, maybe a cool hat. But I remember when I was in fifth grade, I had the opportunity to go to the shopping mall with my uncle and my cousin. And we went to the shopping mall, and I remember kind of straggling behind a little bit, and I noticed how they walked. Now my cousin Jason, he's about 5 or 6 years older than me, and so he's a teenager, and usually, you know, fifth graders, they look up to the older kids, and I could tell by the way that he walked he was cool. And my uncle walked the same way, and you know, a walk says a whole lot about you, doesn't it? I mean, you know, if somebody came in walking like this, I mean, what's it say, Bob? I fit in? I mean, if you just, Pam, what am I saying by the way I walk? I'm sad and depressed. Thank you, Judy. If I walk in like this. Now what am I saying, Bob? You're not in your mid-30s? If you walk in like this, you know, chest out, and say, oh, there's confidence there, right? Or some may say, and I don't mean this to be a bad term or anything, but say, may a little cocky. But I remember watching my uncle and my cousin, and their right hand, their left arm kind of stayed here, but their right hand kind of did this a little bit. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about. It was just, I mean, looking from behind, I mean, it's just, you know, a little strut and a little arm shake, and that you're like, that guy's cool. And so I remember just watching them, and I tried to do my arm exactly like them. I tried to do the little bounce just like them because I wanted to be cool, and I could see it by their walk that they were cool. Now, some of you are looking at me like, you don't know what you're talking about. But to me, that was cool, and I wanted to walk like them. I wanted to wear my hair like them, because all of those things that we did said cool. Now, I have since lost all of my coolness. I don't know that I ever had any to begin with, but I did try, and eventually just gave up and realized, you know, this doesn't even matter any longer. It doesn't matter. But I'll tell you what does matter. And it matters because God says it matters. It's not how we walk in the flesh. It's how we walk in the Spirit that matters. It's how we walk with God that matters in our life. I'll tell you one of the reasons I say it matters to God is because out of 1,189 chapters, God chose to talk about the way that we walk in 203 verses. So 203 verses, the Bible talks about how we walk. I will tell you, I've read every one of them. I'm not going to read every one of them this morning for sake of time. But I would challenge you to get in the Word of God and search out where the Scripture talks about your walk. You will find that over 80% of the time that the Bible describes the walk and uses that term walk, it is using it in either how we are walking with God or how we are walking in the flesh. That's a pretty outstanding amount of time. It doesn't talk a whole lot about how we walk with others as far as maybe walking down the road. It does talk some about that. But primarily, an overwhelming majority of those 203 verses, it is talking about how we walk with God. I want to read to you here this morning out of John chapter 8, and I want you to get the context of the Scripture this morning and notice what the Bible says. Now notice in verse number 1, Scripture says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, and he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman has taken an adultery in the very act. And now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. When they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the stone at her. Let him first cast a stone at her. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And he said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should also have known the Father. These words spake Jesus in the treasury. He also taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come.
And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then they said unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that said I unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. I want you to go back to verse number 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we come to you. And God, as we come this morning, I ask that we would sense your Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. God, there may be one here this morning that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would prick their heart and show them the need of the light of this world in their life. Father, as we concentrate heavily this morning on how we walk with thee, may it be real to us. May we see and know and understand the importance of being in your light. God, help us with this. We ask you, we beg of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. In the book of Psalms, in the 82nd Psalm, the psalmist said this. He said, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said ye are gods, and all of you children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Notice what he said in verse number 5. He said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. We find in two verses, as Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and if ye follow me, ye will not walk in darkness. But in Psalms, the scripture says that there are those that are walking through this life. And as they walk through this life, they don't even realize and they don't know that they walk in darkness. He said the foundations of the earth are out of course. He said it's so used to it. They're not even exactly sure what's going on. In Amos chapter 3, God asks several questions through the prophet Amos. And he says, can two walk together except they agree? Can two walk together except they agree? In this study that I've done throughout the scripture in reading about our walk in life, I want to take just a few moments to read several of these verses to you. Occasionally I'll stop and make some comment through it, but as Amos asks, can two walk together except they be agreed? Notice what God has to say throughout his word about our walk, either with him or without him. In Leviticus chapter 26, he said in the third verse, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. In the 12th verse, he said in the same chapter, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. In Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5, he says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. 1 Kings chapter 8, in four different verses, starting in the 23rd verse. He says, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Verse 25 says, therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep thy servant, or keep with thy servant David my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that the children take heed of their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. In verse 36 he says, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land that thou givest to the people for an inheritance. In the same chapter, in the 58th verse, he said that they may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. Verse 61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord, walk in his statutes, and keep his commandments as it is this day. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, in verse 14 and 16, the Bible says, and said the Lord God of Israel, there is no God like unto thee in heaven nor in earth, which keepest covenants and showest mercy unto thy servants, and walk before thee with all their heart. Now therefore, similar verse here, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father, which thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail a man in thy sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that the children take heed to their way and walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. 2 Chronicles 34, 31. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. The psalmist said in the 89th psalm, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. In the 89th psalm, the Bible says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In verse 30, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments. Proverbs chapter 2, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Chapter 3, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Isaiah said this in the 59th chapter. In the 9th verse, he said, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake. We wait for light, but behold obscurity for brightness. But we walk in darkness. Ezekiel said, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Even King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4 said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Romans chapter 6, Paul said, therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In chapter 8 he said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That the righteousness of the law be fulfilled, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In Galatians he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In chapter 5 and verse 25 he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I read all of those verses quickly, but I want you to catch the context of what is taking place here as the scripture is talking about our walk. There was an overwhelming majority in these verses that I read where it talked about our walk with God in connection with our heart with God. Our heart in walking in His ways and not our own ways. In walking with our heart in tune with Him and not in tune with our flesh. We see verses in the Old Testament and verses in the New Testament. And I want to make some application here this morning for just a few moments. And I know as we read those verses, I want you to think about your own walk with Christ, your own walk with God, and where and at what proximity you are walking with Him. Some, I would dare say, this morning are here walking in darkness. You say, but I'm in church and I can see things, but the moment you leave here, you'll find yourself in a very dark place. Once again, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall walk in light. You see, Jesus is the answer. As Terry and Catherine sang so wonderfully just a few moments ago. He said, they shall not walk in darkness, but shall walk in the light of life. What is it going to take to walk with God? Number one, all of that, introduction. Number one, we must dedicate ourselves to sense God's ways. We must dedicate ourselves to sense God's ways. To set apart, to consecrate, to devote to us, to open formally. To say I'm going to dedicate myself to God's ways is to say I'm going to become a student of the Word of God. I'm going to have to open up the pages of God's Word and find out what God has to say. If I'm going to walk in the way, we can talk about scriptures in the Old Testament in Jeremiah where he says, ask for the old paths. Now look, we have some paths that have been placed before us. We have some paths that have been walked before us. We have the examples in the Word of God of men that did right, of women that did right, of children that did right, of people that followed God, and we can follow in their example in the path that they have given to us. But you see, I'll tell you, our world will tell us today that you can forge your own path. And I'll tell you this, you can forge your own path if you want to, but it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be a wonderful time. I remember when we were working in the home for troubled teenagers, Rachel's dad wanted a hiking trail. And so he gave the task and said, I'd like to have a trail here. And he came through. We had a little, it was a little mountain, I guess. It was in the foothills of the Ozark Mountains is where the property was and where the home was. And he went through this hilly portion of where the property was, and he began marking the trail of things that had to be removed. And it was roughly, you remember, about a half a mile long, I guess. It wasn't a long trail, but it started on this side of the mountain and went up, and you'd go down, and then you'd come out on the other side of the mountain, and then you'd walk through the field and back to the regular part of the property. But he went through, and he went through, marked the trail, and some, you know, nice turns and some straights and all these things. But something had to be done in order for that to work. And what had to be done was somebody had to make the trail. And so that meant for several weeks and several months, we went through and we began cutting trees down and cutting limbs and making the path. Making the road, making the walkway. And I'll just tell you, it wasn't easy. And while we went through there, I just tell you, there's a lot of complaining. A lot. I mean, we're working with teenage boys. And believe it or not, the supposed to be grown men, we complained too. Because it wasn't easy taking this path.
It wasn't easy pulling these things out of the woods. It wasn't easy getting all of this stuff in place so that somebody else could come behind and walk the path. Now, I will tell you, once it was done and we were able to go through and we made it wide enough to where you could ride four-wheelers through and that type of thing, you know what? It was a lot of fun. Because somebody else had paved the way. Someone else had made the path. And you know, in life, we don't have to make our own path. And there may be times when God calls you to dedicate yourself to say, hey, you know what? I've got a path for you to make. And I hope you understand that as people, as you grow older and you have children and you have grandchildren, guess what you're doing? You're paving a path. And you're paving a path for them to follow and for them to walk on and for them to come after you. And hopefully you've walked on a path of your own and you've walked on a path that somebody else has walked on, that somebody else has walked on, so that you can give them something to follow after, so that they can learn from your mistakes and as you learn from your parents' mistakes and your grandparents' mistakes. But we must learn to dedicate ourselves to be able to sense God's ways. Because God says you don't have to do this on your own. And I'll tell you this, if God says for you to take a path and to make a path for someone else to follow after, guess what? He's going to go through that path before you. Amen. He's told us that he'll walk through that path with you. So you're not really even doing it by yourself. God is going to help make that path and cause that path to be straight. And in the crooked places, he's going to cause it to become straight. And all of those things, because God makes the path for the trail, but we must learn to sense God through his ways, through his word. God has given us the light. Jesus told us, he said, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. We don't have to be in darkness. We don't have to walk in darkness. We can walk the way of Jesus in the light as we dedicate ourselves to sense God's ways. Number two, we must discipline ourselves to seek God's ways. I mean, it's one thing to sense it and to feel it out and to know and to see it and use our five senses that we have. But then we have to discipline ourselves. If I can, I don't want to be crude this morning, but I'm pretty sure everyone in here has been potty trained. Everyone. Amen? Amen. Everyone has. Now again, I'm not trying to be crude or anything, but there was a time in your life that you messed yourself. Scott and I were out visiting yesterday, and we came across a couple of kids and inviting them to church. And one of the questions whenever we have a really young one that we ask the parents is that question, are they potty trained? It's one thing cleaning up your own kids. I don't want to clean up somebody else's kid. I don't want to clean up my own kids, but I will if I have to. But it's something totally different to have to clean up somebody else's kid. It's just a little strange. And when they get older, it's gross and all of that stuff. But what I'm saying is we learn and what we do there, because someone disciplined us, we no longer go on ourselves. It was discipline that did that. It was somebody showing us discipline. Now, don't misunderstand what I mean by that. I'm not talking discipline in a spanking kind of way. I'm talking about we've been disciplined to use the senses that God gave us to go on the potty. Amen. How many are glad and grateful that your parents potty trained you? Oh, man. I'm grateful. Now, that is not to say that we've never had accidents after being potty trained. No examples on this one, unless anybody wants to give one. We've all had accidents. You know, there's a time for children as they've been potty trained that, you know what, they will wet the bed. And I will tell you, it's funny to me. We don't necessarily teach them this, but because they've been disciplined, it's amazing to me how quickly, without even saying anything, that children understand, I'm not supposed to wet the bed. I can't remember which one of our children it was, but one of them would always change their own sheets. They just changed the bed, put the old sheets somewhere else, and then we'd find them. It's like, oh my goodness. Now, spiritually speaking, can I just say we do that sometimes? And we've been disciplined and we're seeking, but we ought to continue to discipline ourselves that we don't mess anymore. And eventually we get to that place where we don't do that. And it's amazing, but without sensing God's ways and without disciplining ourselves, and I'll tell you, we won't sense God's ways without the Word of God, and we won't discipline ourselves without the Word of God. The Word of God is the key to doing these things. I'm going to sense God's ways. I'm going to seek to do God's ways and walk therein. Number three, we're bringing this to a close. While we're going to dedicate ourselves to sense God's ways, we're going to discipline ourselves to seek God's ways, we need to develop ourselves to serve in God's ways. To serve. We get confused sometimes in our service that we might think that we're serving people, but we're not. I think some of our frustrations, and we can get frustrated in serving the Lord because we stop focusing upon the Lord and we start focusing upon where God has us serving. And because oftentimes God has us serving with people or even for people, people can be frustrating. Somebody say amen. Amen. I can be frustrating. You can be frustrating. And people can be frustrating, but you're not serving me. And I'm not serving you. I'm serving the Lord. And so in my serving, I should have nothing to be frustrated in. Amen. Because I'm serving the Lord, and this is where He has me, and this is where He has you. And He has you in a place of service. And we need to learn to develop that, to grow gradually, to make ourselves more available. As we've been trained and we've practicing self-control, and again, we're developing those senses and setting it apart and understanding that these are God's ways. And we can develop our serve over time and through practice to where we can take any part of ministry that we have, we can take any part of frustration that we have and say, Lord, this is for you. And I'm going to continue to serve you. And when we can learn to do that, it'll help our frustrations. Jesus again said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I love how God told the children of Israel. He said, I will walk among you and will be your God. And you shall be my people. You see, we don't have to do this on our own. We get to walk with someone who knows us, who cares for us, who loves us. But time after time after time, 203 verses worth, walk in my ways. Here's where we go wrong. As Jesus says, walk in my, I'm the light of the world. Follow me, you'll have light. No walking in darkness. What happens is we'll start. He keeps going, and we maybe get tired, we get hurt, we get whatever, and rather than saying, help me. Remember what Jesus said? He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and laden, and I will give you rest. Remember when Peter came walking on the water to Jesus? And he got his eyes off of Jesus and started noticing the waves and the wind and all of his surroundings. What happened to Peter? He began to sink, didn't he? And what did Peter say? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Now, I think Jesus would have saved him regardless. But when Peter said, Lord, save me, Jesus took him by the hand and picked him back up. Now, I want you to picture this in your mind for a moment. Jesus was there. Lord, if that's you, Peter's saying, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come out to thee. Jesus said, come on. The boat is here, and Peter's walking to Jesus. All these things coming out. I don't know how far Peter got away from the boat. Now, I assume that as Peter was taking steps to Jesus, it's possible that Jesus was taking steps towards him. But I know this, when Peter began to sink and Peter said, Lord, save me, Jesus picked him back up. And the very next phrase in Scripture, the Bible says, and together they got back in the boat. Now, again, I don't know how far Jesus was away. He was close enough to where they could talk, but far enough where Peter had to walk to him. But I do know this. Together, the two of them, after Peter began to sink, they walked together back to the boat. You see, the key here is walking with God. Not away from God, not on our own, but walking with God in His light. Some of you are walking in darkness. You don't have to. You can walk in the light, you can be in the light, but you must choose to be in the light. Give yourself, dedicate yourself to sense God's ways. Discipline yourself to seek God's ways and develop yourself to serve God's way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The songwriter said, as I walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, trust and obey. Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight. Now you say, preacher, hold on a second. You said we don't have to walk in darkness. We don't. We have the light of the Word, but as we walk by faith and not by sight, we must use other senses that God gave us to know and understand the Word of God. In just a moment, we're going to sing that song, Trust and Obey. For that is what we must do. Walk with God.